let's just remain standing if you'd like to. Just read our scripture, Galatians 3. It's good to see all of you this morning. Good to be back. Galatians 3 and 11 through verse 29. If you remember, we're still on the fifth seal. And this will be message number 10, so just put a subtitle to it, put fifth seal, and just put grace, because that's what we'll be speaking on this morning, will be grace. And you remember your scriptures of Revelation 6, 9 through 11 on your fifth seal, and then we'll just read this as to pick up our thought from. Verse 11, Galatians, the third chapter. Well, let's go down about 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham, Ham, and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? Or in other words, what's the law served for? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have come by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were shut up under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. As we pray this morning, there's a man that I work with. His last name's Carlisle. And just remember, it's his wife that who we want to pray for. She's facing an operation this coming Monday on both sides of her neck. She's going to have a bypass surgery on the veins in her neck because there's not hardly any blood flowing to her brain, and she's in bad shape. So just remember to pray for her this morning. He doesn't claim to be anything. He used to hate my guts, and just to be truthful about it, he just hated me to where that he hated to even be in my presence, me not being in the union and different things at the plant and what I stood for. And he just hated me. But all at once, he seemed to just turn away from that. And now for some year or year and a half, he and I have become real good friends. And the Lord willing, maybe we'll try to deer hunt some together this year. Because I don't believe in beating anybody over the head. I just believe in them being what they are, and I'll be what I am. And then we live for the Lord, and then they'll see Christ in our lives. And they'll want a pattern after that, see, instead. But he was real concerned about his wife Friday as we were working, so just remember to pray for him. Anyone else that would have any other requests? Remember our wife. Let's all pray together. Father, we ask you that you would just come now and speak to us. We've read your word. And Lord, what a great text is laying before us here this day. And knowing that we're insufficient to in any way approach this, but yet knowing that you've made us sufficient, that you're the one that has brought us to a place that we would be sufficient, Then you told us in your word there to come boldly before thy throne. And then in that, Lord, we know that we're not worthy to come there, but yet you invited us and you made a way for us to get there. We pray this morning you'd be in the services with each one. Bless the hearer, bless the speaker. Guide each one. Bless our wife's body, Lord. Take away these old pains that in her arm and, Lord, in her back. We ask that you'd remove these. And for our brother yonder, Lord, that his wife's to be operated on tomorrow, we know that you can be present with them and that you'll, Lord, guide the hands of the doctors as they operate. We pray that you would just, through this, speak to his heart. And show him, Lord, that you love him, that you want to guide him on. Have your will and way in his heart and life. Lord, just have your way this day in our hearts, in our lives. Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We had a wonderful time up in Tennessee last weekend, and I listened to the message when I got back with Brother Colley and thoroughly enjoyed the message that he spoke last Sunday night. I'm sure you did, being here with him. But we had a good time up there. We had a good time in the minister's meeting. We had a good fellowship time and had a good safe journey up and back. So we're all pleased in the Lord. And just remember to pray for them. There's a little baby up there that they called the other night wanting us to pray for it, that one of the brothers has just been baptized. His wife just had a baby recently, just a newborn baby, and they had to take it back to the hospital that it was turning blue. So just remember to pray for it. I don't know. I hadn't heard any more from Brother Woodby about it, whether the baby's all right or what, but that was along about Wednesday or Thursday night. I think it was Thursday. So just pray for them also. We read a large scripture this morning, and I want you to think a little bit with me on something about grace, and maybe just take our time this morning. I didn't bring a book with me. I just thought we'd read some scriptures and maybe quote some things from the books and things, and you can read them at home, but just to think on grace and what it means to each one of our hearts, then it would really do us good sometimes to just take the Bible and just read it and think about what it's talking about. See, now what does our scripture mean that Abraham had a promise and it was by grace? Then you turn around and you see the law come into existence. Then you see grace come back into existence, looking like in our scriptures. And maybe we need to think a little bit on that, especially being on the fifth seal. Because on our last few messages, what we've been covering on the fifth seal, we talked about how that seal shows there's the greatest revelation of grace that could ever have been thought of. That God would give eternal life to the Jews now that don't even want it. That killed him for trying to give them life, destroyed the very source of life, and wouldn't have anything to do with it. And all the way down through there, persecuted or anything, you wouldn't find it in our later days, but in the early times there, after Calvary and after the day of Pentecost, you find those Jews persecuting the church and all of the things, you know, of how that they done in stoning Stephen, killing them, and all like that. But yet still, God reaches down and breaks that seal to us and shows us a revelation of grace that is so great that it's beyond man's understanding. I mean, I'm honest and truthful. I don't have maybe enough of the grace of God in my heart, but it's hard for me to see how that God could give grace to a group of people that didn't want it, don't care nothing about it, but yet still looking at it like that and seeing them, then I look back at myself and I say, well, Lord, why would you give it to me? What did I do to merit grace? Anything you do, as we spoke of many times, anything you do yourself to merit anything, that's works. But what about a God saving a group of people that didn't care nothing about it and didn't even want it, and killed the very source of life? But as I've said before, you and I were so far back behind that that we were not even considered being Gentiles and all like that, carrying clubs on our back. We wasn't even considered anyway. The oracles of God didn't even come to us. We were just dogs, Gentiles. The worst thing could be thought of. Well, see, then maybe we need to look at that fifth seal with a little better understanding of grace, you know, to think about it a minute, of what grace truly is. Now, if you'll read along in our scriptures, maybe we can find out a few things, because we talked about how that the seals reveal redemption. Well, then maybe we need to know, how are we redeemed? In other words, what caused us to be redeemed? What caused us to receive eternal life? Well, maybe we need to just slow down a little bit under this time and study for a minute from the scriptures of what grace truly is. Look in your Bible in Ephesians, the second chapter. You've got your Bible. Let's just think a minute about grace. Ephesians 2 and 8. Well, let's drop back to verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins. Now listen, when we were dead in sins, and that's as dead as you can get, because that means that you're just totally lost. No hope whatsoever. Hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now listen to this scripture. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. All right, then there's nothing you could do to get it, or it wouldn't be a gift. If you could work in any way, if you could say, I never did drink, I never did smoke, I never did run around with women, I never run around with men, or this or that or the other. Wouldn't matter who you are this morning, what you'd say about it. You can't say one thing that caused you to be a Christian. If you think one thing in there anywhere caused you to be a Christian, of something you did do or didn't do, then it's not grace. Because grace means unmerited favor. Works is debt. In other words, I work for you, you pay me a debt. Works is what I do for God. See, people looked at James, in James talking about how you're saved by works, seemingly, and then Paul saying that you're saved by grace. Well, that looks like a direct contradiction. But Paul is looking at what God's looking at. That you're saved by grace, unmerited favor. Wasn't anything you could do. But James then is looking at what you do after you're saved. See, by your works you prove what you are. By what you do in your life, you prove what you are every day that you're living. Right? Then the works, the only works I could do would be just to let God live through me. Anything outside of that, it would be works of my own. See, it'd be something I could do. But grace is unmerited favor, and we see under the fifth seal that God gives grace to this group of people. He don't mention their life. We've always talked about how that Abraham lied and give his wife away and all the things, but yet when God wrote about him over in the book of Hebrews, he didn't mention anything about Abraham, did he? And his failures. When he wrote about it, he said Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Right here, the Jews that are under the altar, under the fifth seal, God doesn't mention what they have done. or how they've been in their life. He just gives them white robes, it says. Well, then we ought to look at that and begin to think a little bit about ourselves and where we are. You know, and what causes me to stand? What about my life? What am I? You know. But now let's just think about our scriptures this morning. I want you just to think. Maybe you've thought of this before, but maybe you haven't in this life. Let's just look at our scriptures that we read, seeing that we're saved by grace through faith. It's the only thing you can do is believe it. That's why it's through faith. It's a gift. The only thing you do is just take it, receive it. You remember the story Brother Branham told about the pardon's not a pardon unless received as one? All right, then they can be all kind of grace, but you must accept that grace for your own individual life. So you're saved by grace through what you can believe. Through the faith that you can believe, then you're saved that way. So the only thing you have to do with it is accepting what he said. If you don't accept it, it'll never do you no good. We don't preach salvation on the basis, well, God just saved me, then I'll just do what I want to do, or it don't matter. No. By grace are you saved through faith. It's on the basis of what you can believe. Then you see it's a gift that he gives you. But now, what I want us to think about this morning is the scriptures we've read. We read there how that the promise was given to Abraham and his seed, singular. You remember the other week when we were speaking on that it's not seeds as unto many, but to one seed, Christ. All right, then was the promise made to me if I would be a natural Jew today? If I could prove that my mother was a direct descendant from Abraham and my father was a direct descendant of Abraham, would that be what would put me in line of the promise? No, we found that it would be the seed singular. Abraham's faith seed is what puts us in line. Not the natural genealogy. So, it's to the faith seed that the covenant of grace comes. It's through that faith seed, that seed of Christ, that brings us to a place that he can give us eternal life. So then it's a faith seed. But not just think now. God started off with Abraham and gave him a covenant. Well, let's just drop on back. To just get the background of the story. You have Adam in the Garden of Eden. And God says to Adam, if you'll keep my covenant, and you don't eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, you keep what word I've given you, just a few words are that they had to live. Said, then I'll take care of you. All right, that was a conditional covenant, wasn't it? That was a condition that if Adam done what God said for him to do, then God would do what he said he'd do. All right, then you move it on over to Noah. As man sinned and fell away there, then you move it over to Noah. And Noah, he said, Noah, if you'll do this, I'll do this. Now, if you'll do this certain thing, then I'll do these certain things. He gave him a conditional covenant, didn't he? But then when you come to Abraham, and if you'll read it back there in Genesis, read Genesis 12, 13, 14, and especially the 15th chapter of Genesis. You remember the story how in the 15th chapter that Abraham asked God how he was going to keep the promise. You remember he'd been let out of down into the places down there that he'd been and brought up through the land, and he come to a place up there, and he said, God, how am I going to know that you'll keep this promise? He gave him an unconditional covenant. The other two covenants were, if you'll do, I'll do. But when he come to Abraham, he said, Abraham, I've already done it. I've already saved you. I'm doing it myself. Abraham said, well, now how do I know this is going to be that way? He said, all right, Abraham said, I'm going to show it to you. He put Abraham to sleep. Read there in Genesis 15. He put Abraham to sleep. You remember? He saw a smoking furnace and all the different things that represented hell, that man was due that punishment and should go there. But he took the heifer and the birds and the things and laid them down there before God. And then God come right down through there, the pillar of fire, and separated those two pieces and come right through, showing that sure man was due to go to hell. He deserved it. But God made his own covenant. He made an unconditional covenant, we're taught. All right, then in reading our scripture here, we see that the promise was made to Abraham and his seed. Not to everybody then. Who was that unconditional covenant made for? For Abraham and his seed. Not his seeds, plural, but his seed, singular, his faith seed. He made an unconditional covenant. All right, then in that unconditional covenant with Abraham, I want to ask you, did God foul the whole thing up when he turned around then after giving now two covenants of condition, two things for man to keep, then he turns around and he makes an unconditional covenant? Well, then when he makes that unconditional covenant, then does he turn around and mess it up by giving a law? Did he go back to a law? See, I'm wanting this in the background in your mind so that you'll see what real true grace is, and you'll see it from the fifth seal of a real true revelation of grace to each one of us, not just to the Jews, but to us also. When God gave the law there, did that do away with grace? Did that change it from an unmerited favor covenant back to a law of do's and don'ts? That's what I'm asking you this morning. See, Abraham came before the law came. If you know your Bible, Abraham was in Genesis. The law wasn't given until Exodus 19. All right, now that was a long ways over there. You'd done got over to Moses before that it come to the place that the law came into existence. But did God do something wrong? When he had said, Noah, you can't keep my covenant. He said, Adam, you're not capable of keeping my covenant. You've proved it because both of you have failed. And I'll give Abraham a covenant of grace. I'll give him unmerited favor. It won't be what he does or anything. And I'll give it to his seed that comes from him. Not his seeds, but his seed, singular, that comes from him. I'll give that grace covenant to them also. Then you see and look like turning around from that and saying, well, I guess I fouled up there, so I'll give you a book of rules to keep. And then the law would come into existence. And man would go back from a covenant of grace, he would go back to a, look like a covenant of do's and don'ts. Had you ever thought of that type of what we're looking at? Had you ever thought of it in that form like that? That grace, they came way before the law. We read it to you there in the scripture. The grace came 430 years before the law came. Well, it looks like a funny situation, don't it? Let's just look at it from the board's view of it. I mean, just draw it out if we can a second. Sometimes it helps to look at things. It's just naturally what you can see. Ought to be enough to where we can look at it. But you got Adam. You got Noah. And their covenant was what? Do's? Don'ts. Now that's the covenant they had, wasn't it? If you will, I will. If you'll do this, I'll do that. And he goes that way with two covenants now, with that part, because that was the two that you come down through with your covenant. Well, then when he comes to that place that you got Abraham, Abraham comes into existence. Check your Bible now, how these come about. Abraham comes into an unconditional covenant. Unconditional. Nothing he could do to merit it. Nothing anybody in his seed would do to merit it. Nothing that anything would do to have anything to do with meriting the covenant. All right, now. Then you look at it 430 years after that. Here comes Moses, and in Exodus 19, you have the law. You have a covenant of law that comes into existence. A covenant of what? Do's and don'ts again. Now that looks like God messed it up, don't it? He started out with do's and don'ts. He went to an unconditional covenant. And 430 years later, he goes back and starts all over again, looks like do's and don'ts. Now, is God that so confused? Well, see, then maybe we need to think about the scriptures then. If God ever made a covenant, he has to keep that covenant. He can't break it. He has to keep it. Now let's just look at our scriptures again. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, verse 13. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now what's he saying we're supposed to receive? Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now what promise is he talking about? If you're going to turn around 430 years later and go back to a conditional covenant. Maybe we'll catch something when we get down to it, that Brother Branham said the children of Israel chose law in Exodus 19. They chose that themselves, but they said they didn't know what they got. They went back to do's and don'ts. Now just think with us on the scriptures. And I say that the covenant, Abraham's covenant, unconditional, before of God in Christ, see, made with Abraham, the law which was 430 years after cannot disannul that it should make the promise of non-effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more a promise. In other words, did the law fulfill what was given to Abraham? Abraham was given an unconditional covenant. Did the law come along and fulfill that? It's not quite right that way, is it? But I want you to think on it now. Because watch what we're talking about. Wherefore then serveth the law, verse 19. In other words, why did the law come? It was added because of transgressions. Transgressions came, and then the law came. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now think with me just for a minute. What happened to the unconditional covenant? What happened to Abraham's unconditional covenant? Did God change his mind when we're taught over and over? Just the last book we got says God don't change his mind about his word. That when he made the promise to Abraham by faith, he never changed that. But it looks like to our eyes and views that he had a conditional covenant and they failed. Then he went to an unconditional covenant that they couldn't fail and then turned around and went back to conditions. Now watch, you'll pick this up from the fifth seal if you'll think on it. And it'd take the breaking of that seal to show it. You say, I've got it in my notes written here somewhere, in case anybody hears this and thinks about this. You say, oh, I've understood grace all along. I've always believed in grace. Not without the opening of the fifth seal, you'll never get a full understanding of it. You can never come to a full understanding of grace without the fifth seal being broke. You've got scriptures there that are locked to that, that Paul said all Israel would be saved. Until that seal breaks, you can't understand that scripture. Even though you can claim to believe in grace. You can claim to say, I've always believed in grace. And in my basic makeup since I've been in this message and was born again, I'm talking about myself now, I've always believed in grace. And I always believed I had a pretty good understanding of grace. But yet when that fifth seal opens, it shows the greatest revelation of grace that could ever be thought of. Then your scriptures open up that all Israel shall be saved. Well, see, then we need to think about what that seal shows us about redemption. Because that's what the seals is for. You remember, we were talking about the first four seals reveal how the church revealed the church as being redeemed. You remember that statement here a while back? But then the fifth, sixth, and seventh seal would show you how you're redeemed. Something goes on there that shows you how you're redeemed that will lock every scripture together then. And if you didn't have the opening of the seal, you'd never understand what Paul was saying when he said, all Israel shall be saved. You'd try to make that a spiritual Israel, and this, that, and the other. He's talking about a spiritual Israel, that's all right, but he's talking about a natural Israel also. And the fifth seal proves that, that there's a natural Israel there that will be saved, given eternal life. But now, did God make a covenant of grace and then turn around and make another covenant of law? Did God change his mind when he said, I've blundered and made a mistake and given grace to Abraham and his seed, so I'll just give them law now? Every denomination that there is, ask any of them a question about it, none of them knows that secret part of the scripture there. You ask them and see if they don't. Ask them, was God intending to give the law to the children of Israel? They'll say, yes, that's what he brought them out to Mount Sinai for. You ask them and see if that's what they don't believe. They believe God brought them out there to give them the law. God didn't bring Israel to Exodus 19 and Mount Sinai to give them the law. Man chose law himself. Sure, then God had to deal then with the law from then on and bring it. But as I said, they didn't get what they thought they got. They got God in letter form, but they thought they was getting a book of rules. But they got God in letter form. That's what the law is. It's the word of God. It's God in letter form. The letter killeth. They got something that was death unto them instead of life. They thought they were getting life. They wanted life. They chose it there in Exodus 19. If you want to read what the prophet said, read page 20. Does God change his mind about his word? That's not this last one. That's the other book. Page 40 of Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Page 192 of Smyrnium, book 4. And see if he didn't say, and I've got many more if you'd like them, that the church chose law. The children of Israel chose law in Exodus 19. But now, what did he bring them out? Look in your Bible. What did he bring them out there to Exodus 19 to do? You remember he told Moses, now this is after Abraham's covenant of grace. He told Moses, he said, go down there and get my children. They've transgressed against me. They've done wrong and had to be sent down into bondage because they've done wrong. You say, well, if it had been an unconditional covenant, he wouldn't have sent them down there in punishment for doing wrong. You do wrong today, what does the prophet say? You sin a sin as a Christian, he said, you reap a tub full. All right, then, as you sow, so shall you reap. Sow to the wind, you'll reap a whirlwind, the scripture says. Sow to the flesh, you reap the flesh. You'll have to answer for it the rest of your life. It'll be on you. All right, then that's a Christian. That's not a sinner. So surely then we can see the children of Israel that God said, they've transgressed against me. I give them an unconditional covenant, but they've done me wrong. So now they're going down into Egypt. And they went down into Egypt and stayed 400 years. Moses was sent down to deliver them, and they rejected him, had to stay 30 more years. 430 years they had to stay down there in punishment for their doing of the wrong under an unconditional covenant. See, you don't descend that grace may abound. Paul brought that out. It looks like if it was unconditional, then it wouldn't be on that. But no, when you do wrong as a Christian, you answer for that doing wrong. You reap from it. You'll have to answer. That scripture is not talking to a sinner. That it can be used to a sinner and all, but it's not even talking to a sinner where it says that you reap what you sow. It's talking to the Christian. You reap what you sow. You sow to the whirlwind, you'll reap it. That's what you get. It's the old time saying used to go, say, lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. All right, then, when God brought them out to Mount Sinai, he told Moses to go down there and get them and bring them back out there. Did he bring them out there, what I'm wanting you to see now? Because sometimes the younger ones need to hear things like this, because we've been taught so many things through the organizations until it's just mixed us all up. But when God brought them out to Mount Sinai, was he going to come down and give them the law? When he had already given a grace covenant? When he had already been sent a deliverer to Israel? But what happened in Exodus 19? Let's just read it in our scripture now, about the third verse. And Moses went up unto God. Now, when he gets out to Mount Sinai, brings the children of Israel out. And the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. All right, now he's going to talk to all the 12 tribes, ain't he? Distinguishing between Jacob and Israel is to show you that he's going to talk to everybody. Because you remember whose name was it that was Jacob and then was changed to Israel? Jacob's was, wasn't it? So he's not going to leave anybody out of this. He's going to talk to all of them if they'll listen to him. You have seen, now watch what God says to them. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, now watch him. It looks like he starts trying to make a conditional covenant, but watch what he's saying. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant. What covenant? What covenant's God talking about if they'll keep? His covenant he made with Abraham. Not his covenant he made with Noah, not his covenant he made with Adam, but his covenant that he made with Abraham. He said, Abraham, if you'll walk after me. Go back there in your scriptures and study Abraham and his covenant. He said, I'll make you a peculiar people. From you shall fall forth children out of the sand of the seashore. And said, I will, in other words, your seed shall possess the gates of their enemy. Well, then in an unconditional covenant, the children of Israel starts doing wrong. They couldn't be then that the enemy would be under their feet, could they? They was the one that was doing the wrong. It didn't break God's covenant. He's still telling them right here, if you'll just keep my covenant. He's telling me and you today the same thing. That he will just keep the covenant. This covenant today is the same covenant was made back there. An unconditional covenant of grace. But that don't mean you can go out and live like the devil and say, I'm under grace. You prove right there you're not under grace. You prove you're not born again when you do that. That's just the plain facts of it. Because grace don't, let's don't sin that grace may abound, Paul said. But watch what he's saying to them now. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. Now watch it. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now what? And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. That was what he brought them to Mount Sinai for. He brought them to Mount Sinai that he might come down and prove that Moses was the deliverer. Where did he meet Moses at? In the burning bush, didn't he? When he met Moses at the burning bush, he said, Moses, you bring that people right back out here, and not only will this bush be on fire to prove that I'm with you, but said the whole mountain will be on fire. When the children of Israel come back to Mount Sinai, I read you background scriptures of it. They come back to Mount Sinai, the whole mountain was on fire. He was to prove his prophet to be true. That was all they needed. They didn't need anything else. They had a prophet. As long as they had the prophet with them, they had God's grace there with them. But yet now watch. God said, you'll be a peculiar people. You'll be a a kingdom of priests. You'll be a holy nation. Now that's what he brought them out there to tell them. To show the covenant was true. To show that it was unconditional. That's what he's telling them. But the prophet of God knew the scriptures, and he said in Exodus 19, they chose law, watch, for grace. Not law instead of grace. They chose law thinking it was grace. They chose a book of rules thinking that's what God wanted them to do. Me and you fall in the same trap. We ain't careful. It's grace. But watch. They chose law. All right, now look at verse 8 and watch what they said. Now, after they had got through doing all of that and God had told them what he wanted them to do, he didn't put no condition there, did he? Did he call them up there and he said, now, I don't want you to work a heifer and a donkey together. I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do any of these things. He didn't say a word about that, did he? He did not bring up a group of conditions. That's the background I want you to get. God didn't bring a group of conditions that God said for him to do anything. I'm trying to get you to see that the prophet was right in that scripture there. Because I can see it in the scriptures after what he said about it. That they chose the law themselves. It wasn't God's original plan. You read back up there and see where God ever said for him to do anything. But watch what they said. All the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. He didn't tell them to do nothing. So rephrase the scripture to where we'll understand it. They said, we're glad to be a royal priesthood of people. We're glad to be a peculiar people. We're glad to be a holy nation. But we want something to do. Every denomination there is in the world fell on the same grounds. And the Branhamites can go the same way. The same identical way. Because every one's went the same way. Now you think about it and see if it ain't right. You think about Exodus 19. And see if the people today aren't falling the same way. God didn't tell them. He didn't tell them something to do. They said, we're glad to be what you tell us we are. But we want something to do. Right there is what fouled it up. People today, it's the hardest thing in the world for people today to just accept salvation on the basis of what God done. They want it on the basis of what God done and what I do. Or don't do. See, then preaching grace that away, people will say, well, if that was grace that way, then what does it matter what I do? What does it matter how I live? Because you prove what you are by what you live. That's sensible, ain't it? You prove what you are by what you're living. My wife, she would say, well, I'm a wife of Samuel Dale, and I'm going to prove it. I'm going to go out and live like a prostitute. Well, now everybody in the world would know she wasn't a wife. Is that true? They'd know she's a prostitute. All right, then what we are, what we live, is what we prove in our lives. See, we can look at the Bible today and say, yes, Lord, we're glad to be a peculiar people. We're glad to be in this message. We're glad to be here and all of you. But I sure am glad I didn't do this or didn't do that. You wouldn't have saved me. Now, you're just as lost there as the children of Israel was when they chose the law. Now, thank women, though. But what was the law given for? Now, they wanted it. Brother Branham said they didn't get what they thought they got, because they wanted a book of rules, of do's and don'ts, something they could do themselves. But when God gave them the law, was His law contrary to the covenant of grace? Now that's what I'm wanting us to see. Was His law that He give here, that we call the law there in Exodus where it says, thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that, you know, the Ten Commandments and all the commandments and everything that went with it, was that contrary to the covenant of grace? That's what I'm asking you. Did God foul up giving the covenant of the law just because they wanted it? Or was grace still there? Was grace still there just like it was to Abraham? Maybe if we look at the word correctly, we might see it's still there. Did God change to a covenant of do's and don'ts? No, He just gave them what they wanted. They wanted do's and don'ts. They wanted a covenant of that. But He just gave them what they wanted. But what they wanted, they didn't realize they got something else. They thought they got just a book of rules, and you can read them there. You're not supposed to do this, and you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to work this kind of an animal with this kind of an animal. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do that. Now let's just get down to grace, even if it takes two or three sermons on this. When God give them that, everything He give them, listen, everything He give them in the law, whether it was working a donkey or an ox or wearing a garment of two different colors, or whether it was working on this day or not working on that day or traveling so far this way or doing this or eating a certain kind of meat or anything like that. Did God disannul grace to give them law? Paul just said here to the Galatians that covenant, though it was made and the law come forward in 30 years, that couldn't disannul the covenant. You might consider this message a little more than maybe some of you are, because I had no intentions of going this away. I've got the notes if you'd like to read them. But my points change because of what I can see from it. So you better consider it then. Lord willing, tonight I want to ask you a question. Have we missed something that's among us? But just think now. The law came 430 years after the grace came. This law came into existence after that grace was already there. Did that law disannul that covenant of grace? Then the prophet's right. They didn't get what they thought they got. You know what they got? Everything that's in that law is a type of Christ. Whether they're working those two animals together or the garment of two colors or eating a pig or doing this, that, or the other, whatever you'd find there, all of that was a type of Christ. Because it was God in letter form. They thought they was just getting a book of rules. That you're not supposed to do this, or you're supposed to do this, or not supposed to, you know, just something for them to do. But when they got that, that's all they thought they got. Now listen. And you'll see it come all the way through. That's what they thought they got. They thought they got a covenant of do's and don'ts, but they got God in letter form. Because Moses stood there later trying to explain it to them when he went up there in Deuteronomy and come down. What did he say to them? He said, boy, I'm glad I went up into the face of God and I found out that
These do's and don'ts was right. So now y'all don't do this and do that, we're all going to heaven. Was that what what Moses said when he come back down? Oh, when Moses come down off of the mountain after getting those Ten Commandments, what did he say? He said, the Lord is not over the sea that one would have to go there. Said he's not off over yonder somewhere, but said the word is nigh thee. What? This law that I've given you. The law that's been given to you, that's the word of God. It's nigh thee. Even in thy heart and in thy mouth, the word, Paul brought it up later saying, the word which I preach. Within the covenant that was there was a covenant of grace. Law didn't disannul that covenant that God had to make another one. The law was added because of the transgressions. Where they transgressed and went wrong, they chose it. See, God come out and said, look, this is what you are. You're this. I'm just telling you what I told Abraham in plain language. But said, now, here you are. Here you are now. You're wanting a book of rules to keep. So here, there's a book of rules to you. But that's not what you think it is. How could a book of rules type Christ? How could a book of rules be a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ? That's what it says there in our scripture. The law was added because of transgression until the seed would come. Let's read it again. How could a book of rules be a schoolmaster? It cannot be. Grace is a schoolmaster. The law was added because of transgression. The book of rules they didn't get. They've got God in letter form. They got a covenant confirmed in letter form of grace. You say, yeah, but I've always been taught law was a book of rules. Yeah, that's what we've always been taught, that law was a book of rules. When law is the word of God in seed form, it's not a book of rules. It's a covenant of grace confirmed in letter to be a schoolmaster. Never seen that before in all my life. That scripture's always bothered me. The law is not a do's and don'ts covenant. The law that was given there was God in letter form, and Paul said it was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Listen to him now. Is the law then against the promises of God? Verse 21. God forbid. In other words, he's saying, do you believe that the law done away with the promise to Abraham? Or did the law make another covenant? For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have come by the law. Righteousness would have been by that law then, wouldn't it? But the scripture hath concluded, listen, all under sin. That doesn't matter where you're a Jew, Gentile, Samaritan, or whoever you'd want to be. The Baptists used to say, we never was under the law. The law just come to the Jews. Paul said, all under sin. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now listen. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. The law came into existence because man wanted it. But you was kept under the law. God kept you under the law.
God kept you while you was under the law. Let's put it that way.
Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed.
All right, now it was going to last for a while, so you'd have to, that law would be in existence, and man would be under that law, and God would deal with man under that law, and save him according to that. But listen, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. Is the teacher in school a book of rules? A teacher in school is a schoolmaster that helps you, don't he? Is the books you read out of supposed to kill you? Now, we know the natural education will nowadays, but I ain't talking about that. No, it's supposed to aid you, ain't it? To bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now think. Was the law contrary to grace? When the law was given, was it contrary to grace? Did the law put man back under a covenant of do's and don'ts? Watch it, church. If it did, when David committed adultery, he was to die. Law condemned you. There's not one doubt of grace, now listen, in the law. But while the law was in existence, God gave grace to a lot of people. While the law was in existence, God gave salvation to a lot of people. If the law was a book of do's and don'ts, and telling you what would happen unto you if you did do it or didn't do it, then David was to die and go to hell because he committed adultery, and the Bible plainly states in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. Then David would have been condemned and no grace. But now listen, grace was there to save David. But it wasn't there to save, we'll say, John Doe, the guy next door to him that committed adultery, because he wasn't the seed. He wasn't the one the promise was given unto. It was Abraham's seed, faith seed. David then was down in the lineage of Abraham's faith seed, not his natural genealogy that saved him, was it? It was the sand of the seashore that the seed shall be as innumerable. Then, let's just watch something. When the church started off on the day of Pentecost, it started off as a pure, unadulterated word. Watch an example exactly like it happened there in the Old Testament. When the denominations began to come along, the church began to fall away. And it got it down to just barely a stump. But God said, I will restore. The prophet of God said, the denominations you and I come through were schoolmasters to bring us to Christ. All right? That denomination itself was a book of rules and do's and don'ts. But the man that originally preached the message that the denomination stemmed from was a covenant of grace. When Luther came out preaching the just shall live by faith, that was God's word. The denomination chose a denominational idea and went into a book of rules of do's and don'ts and died. The children of Israel chose law in Exodus 19 and died. The only thing that lived through there was the seed. Promise. Seed. Jesus standing one day talking to those Pharisees, they said, our fathers, they could check their lineage back, said, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. And he said, they're ever one dead. Eternally separated is what that word means. He didn't say they're asleep. He said they're ever one dead. Then it was the faith seed that the seal reveals as the promised seed. So is it with the fifth sealed Jew. It's not ever Jew that died from Calvary to the rapture of the church. But the chosen seed. That came down. The real true Jew, Brother Branham said, not the natural Wall Street will cut your throat for a dime. Then everything fits, the prophet said, under the fifth seal. That the covenant of grace wasn't disannulled by the law. It was made effective in this much that the law came as a book of rules to the person that didn't want it, you know, or they wanted it for that reason, but to the seed singular, Christ's seed singular, it came as a schoolmaster. Oh, church, what a schoolmaster. Then you can read and see those commandments mean just as much today as they ever did. Then you can read back there in Deuteronomy where it tells a woman not to wear a garment pertaining to a man. And that's just as true today. Then you can read back there about cutting of the hair, painting the face. It's just as true today. Because that's the Word of God. Grace cannot disannul. The law cannot disannul the covenant of grace. It just had to be there until Christ, the seed, would come. It had to be there until the seed come. Christ. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity of being here. We ask you, Lord, that you would just guide each one in our thoughts. May we, Lord, not be as the children of Israel of seeking a book of rules, but to search out the Word and to see that the seed of God is the Word of God. And that it's God in letter form. And then we walk after that Word. Walk in the Word. Bless us together. Forgive our sins. Guide us in Jesus' name. Joyce, would you come? Let's sing a hymn. We'll just cut off there and take up tonight, because if I go any further, I'll have to go another quite a while. 232, Joyce, at the cross. You think about it this afternoon now. You consider what's said. Because that's what you're supposed to. Think on it. Did God give grace, as I said up here on the board now? He had a conditional covenant. Do's and don'ts. Adam and Noah. Then he had a grace covenant, unconditional, given to Abraham. But then did he give the law of do's and don'ts to do away with the covenant of grace? Is Brother Brown's message just a do's and don'ts? If it is, it's not even the law. Because the law, listen, The law has not one word of do's and don'ts in it. That's a funny statement, ain't it? But you analyze what I said this morning, you'll see what I'm talking about. The law has not one word of do's and don'ts in it. The law is God in letter form. Is there do and don't in God? Mm-mm. God's whole makeup's grace. Brother Brown said, my whole makeup's grace. Then that goes to show that we don't just live like the devil and try to get by, because there's not a do's and don'ts there to try to tell us that. There's a word of God standing in your face saying, you do it or don't do it. You just prove what you are. You just prove you're lost. You mean we can break the Old Testament covenant, you know, the things that it said, but we can't break the New Testament? That's foolish, ain't it? You break one letter of the word, Brother Ryan says, you'll sin a sin. As a Christian, he said, you'll reap a tubfold. Sin is unbelief. You disbelieve one word. He didn't say you disbelieve the New Testament. He said you disbelieve one word. And you die. Let's just sing this. Anyone has a need? Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done He groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Let me ask you a question today. Do you serve God out of fear? Do you serve God out of fear? Do you say, well, I serve Him because if I don't, He might do something to me? Or do you serve Him out of love? Which one is it? You can serve Him out of law and think it's love. You can think it's love, but you can serve Him by fear. The children of Israel chose a law and thought they were serving God. But the real true down through there, when they called it, like Moses said, God's not off up in heaven. He's standing right here today. Was that what he's saying? In other words, he's saying, He's not up there on that mountain where I just met Him at and come down to talk to you. He's right here today. He said, He's in the word that I speak unto you. Paul must have thought that was true, because when he picked it up, he said, it's the word of faith which I preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Then do you serve God out of fear? Or do you serve Him out of love? A lot of questioning. You think about it. Well, my
sun in darkness high and shut his glories in. When Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Anyone have a need now as we sing the last?
But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of sin I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Don't forget, we have the pictures over here, with the courtesy of Brother Hembry and him. Somewhere they picked it up, of the Hoffman's Head of Christ in the Beatitudes. You remember Brother Branham said one time that man sent him that and said right where he could see you'd press a little darker on the letters to make his eyes and his beard and thing. Well, just take you one home and just sit down and look at it and see Christ revealed in his own word. Anyone have anything to say before we dismiss? Lord Jesus, we thank you for being here with us today. We thank you for an opportunity of coming and fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters. We pray that you might reach down in our hearts this day and just remove the things that would be there contrary to you and help us to walk upward. Guide us, Lord. Bless the people on the way home. And just let each heart and life, Lord, be guided in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Take the name of Jesus with you, child, sorrow and divorce.